welcome back. We are joined on the line by Ted Ballacher, the director of the film Can We Take a Joke? Check that out at canwetakeajoke.com, at canwetakeajoke on Twitter. You're out doing college campuses and creating a buzz. That's what's going on?
We are currently creating buzz. They're attempting to do just that. And we've been on about 300 college campuses, so it's actually... more than we expected.
Do you have an official release date yet, or are you just kind of out getting it out there a bit, and that's going to be determined?
Yeah,
later?
this was a special sneak peek week for college kids, since they're often the ones getting censored these days. So we figured we'd cut them a break. We don't have an official date, but it's most likely going to be at the end of July. We're timing it with the 50th anniversary of the death of Lenny Bruce, who's a big deal in our movie. He's kind of the hero of the film. He shows, through his example, we show how things have gotten better and worse since Lenny's time in the 60s. And that anniversary is August 3rd. And so we're aiming for probably it's going to be a late July release, first a limited release in theaters, than a wider digital release.
So you're taking it to colleges. That's kind of like the opposing view of the film from, I guess. I guess I haven't seen it, but are you getting a good response for it? Or we were joking earlier that the subtitle of the movie should be, Can We Take a Joke? And then in parentheses, spoiler alert, no, we can't.
Well, yeah, that spoiler alert did ring true at several college campuses, including my alma mater, where someone mysteriously pulled a fire alarm at UC Irvine during the screening, and that was after threats of protest after it was announced that the film would be screened there.
That's some rock and roll shit there. If you get an alarm pulled on you, you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, I guess so. And so this is phase one of the campus events, and we're going to return to college campuses in the fall with bigger screenings and a lot more hoopla. This was kind of like a soft launch. But by and large, we were very, very pleased with how it was received. In fact, we have all sorts of heartwarming stories about college kids with different points of view talking calmly about politics. I mean, who would have thought that was possible these days?
So you worked for 2020. I mean, you're kind of a documentary guy. So, are you filling a gap? Like, I'm curious about, like, it, I mean, is comedy a passion of yours? Or are you just like, oh, this is something that would probably make a good documentary?
It's definitely both. I am very passionate about stand-up comedy. In fact, my wife and I were just watching a Patrice O'Neill fan-made documentary last night. And my brother is a stand-up comic. And we consume a lot of stand-up comedy. We used to do a free show here in Los Angeles on the Sunset Strip. My brother would host and I would do music, which would basically mean I was the unpaid brother of the host who brought his iPod Nano to, do intro and outro music to the comics. I love stand-up comedy, and I also, love free speech and the idea of free expression. And, so this was a good way to kind of merge those two loves. And it's strange and wonderful how timely it's all become. We've been thinking about this for years, and the more we've been working on it, the more it seems like every day there's some explosion of outrage.
It does seem to be very timely. Yeah.
You mentioned Lenny Bruce right off the top, and obviously the late great George Carlin, kind of followed in the same vein when he found his footing. Do you feel that there's any singular voices in comedy that are kind of doing those same things? I mean, I know you have like your Doug Stanhopes, who, he can be shocking upon first listen, but really, if you actually kind of dive deep into what he's saying, it kind of is along the same vein. Do you think that there's anybody out there that's kind of broadening like the message, you know, not to take ourselves so seriously, but also kind of be introspective?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of, Penn Jillette is one of the guys we interview in the film, and he's a very, very much a big fan of Lenny Bruce and quite a student of his as well. And he says that, what you see in a lot of stand-up comedians today is that you would watch them and they watch Lenny, and Lenny wouldn't seem terribly groundbreaking. And Penn says it's because everybody is doing what Lenny started. So the whole world shifted to do what Lenny was doing. And so you see a lot of Lenny, you know, I mentioned Patrice O'Neill, he was one, he was gone. He died well before he should have. He definitely, was introspective in that way and definitely pushed boundaries. Another guy who I think was brilliant and also died before his time was Greg Giraldo, Louis C.K. A lot of these guys, they really do trace their lineage back to Lenny Bruce. And then of course, you know, also Richard Pryor and George Carlin. So a lot of the personalized approach to storytelling, that, you know, you trace that back to Lenny, and you look at what was considered comedy before Lenny, and it was a lot of boom jokes, you know, take my wife, please. And that kind of thing.
But you have to wonder with Lenny Bruce, like the big thing about Lenny Bruce and the talking point about him is how he was received. And I mean, it's kind of like, you know, He-Man needs Skeletor and the X-Men need Magneto. And like, do comedians give these detractors their power by acknowledging them? I mean, like, is this movie making them matter? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, the comedians are always reacting against something. And so I, you know, without the darkness, there's no light
right.
and that sort of thing. And,
I mean, we're never going to see a movie about people who really think Penn Jillette's funny and makes a lot of sense, because what's the movie there? It's like,
well,
guys, we're all really big Penn Jillette fans. Let's make a movie about our love of Penn Jillette.
Right. There's like the Bill Hicks documentary. There are biopics about comedians that pop up here and there. But even if you look at someone like Bill Hicks, he too was, you know, fighting against something. He was, he was a guy who grew up in Houston, very edgy comic, never really embraced in the U.S., but strangely embraced, by the Brits. And so there, you know, I think in order to be a great comic, you know, you see a lot of tragedy in their lives or there's some sort of struggle. That's kind of like with any interesting story. You don't just want a story where everything works out swimmingly, because that's not terribly interesting. And so you see a lot of the great comedians were really, had some pretty serious demons or are a little bit out of step with society. And they're reacting against that. And that's part of what frustrates them, but it's also what pushes them, to push boundaries. George Carlin said, the duty of a comedian is to find out where the line is drawn and deliberately cross over it. That's what a lot of these guys do.
I would imagine, though, like looking at the other side of the equation is like when you look at a fan base, when these people are looking to these comedians to kind of break up the doldrum and you know, just provide the comedy, but also when they do take it that step far, we live in a society now when we can shut, I mean, take Gilbert Godfrey, I guess, for an example. You know, people love Gilbert Godfrey, and then he makes one poorly timed tsunami joke, and he's no longer the Affleck duck.
The duck, yeah. Right. That's the point we make in the film, is that people, it's not like, when we refer to it as the outrage mob or maybe outrage culture. So people have always been outraged by something or another. So that's not new. What is new is the tools that we have, the technology that we have. They're really this double-edged sword, because on the one hand, social media and Twitter and YouTube are wonderful for comedians because they let them reach out to new fans that they've never would have been in contact with before. But on the other hand, it really does foment this outrage culture where somebody can take go to a club and videotape on a smartphone, a little clip from a set that's taken totally out of context. And then he uploads it to his YouTube page and, you know, outrage blasts across the land. and people are taking this joke out of context, or, you know, even just the act of taking it out of the comedy club. It's the venue is so, for fans of comedy, you know, that the joke told within the confines of maybe a small comedy club is a very different thing than if you were to bring it, you know, at your Thanksgiving table in front of your whole family or just any other venue. The venue matters just a whole lot. And so what we're seeing a lot now is that the comedians are really trying to figure out how to deal with this new wave of technology, which is on the one hand wonderful, and on the other hand allows for some pretty awful things.
And I would imagine that people who are still trying to work out things, they have to do that in front of people. Because, I mean, we don't have,
exactly,
like, comedy exactly. Guitar Hero where you can practice at home. You kind of have to go out there and see how your stuff goes over. And if everybody's got... You know, they did a Saturday Night Live Prince special, and they were talking about this magical moment when, at the 40th anniversary after party, Prince came up on stage, and, like, everybody was just in awe that Prince was coming up there, and he just picked a random guitar up and just started playing it. And they had footage of this, and you look out over this sea of people who are seeing something amazing. I mean, like, they're seeing something, the once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, like, you know, Jimmy Fallon and Paul McCartney are up on stage with Prince jamming, and everybody has their damn phones out.
Right. That's a bugaboo of mine too. I used to live in New York, and would watch the tourists go, through Central Park on the horse carriage, and dear old dad would have the video camera out, you know, videotaping everything because, gee, it's going to be really great once we get home in front of the television, and then we can watch the video of, you know, what we should have been experiencing firsthand.
And you also have to wonder if social media is bringing, are these people, like, multiplying? Are they seeing one person be outraged and say, I should also be outraged about that? Or just does everybody have a voice now and all of these people have been out there all along?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question. Gilbert Gottfried, who's one of the comedians we interview, and really has just, he's really outstanding in the film. He says, you know, when you're outraged at something, you're also patting yourself on the back and saying,
right,
so look at me, I'm outraged, I'm a good person. And so I think it's, I've heard the phrase public piety used, and
virtue
I think that's
signaling.
Pretty apt because I think a lot of people are, it's a very easy way to kind of show that you're a good person or pretend you're a good person. If you're outraged by the right things, then others will, you know, look well upon you.
It's like changing your Facebook picture to the French flag.
Exactly. It's no skin off your nose. You
right.
don't really have to do anything.
Yeah, guys, obviously I give a shit. I changed my profile picture to the French flag, guys.
Yeah, look at me. Gilbert says that he misses the old time lynch mobs because back then, at least you had to, you know, put on a coat, go outside, deal with other people. But now you're just sitting at home and you can register your outrage, you know, across the universe just by, you know, typing on Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
So can we take a joke? It should be out sometime in July, you said. We will be sure to let people know when it is actually available. If you happen to see it playing in a film festival or something you're at, go check it out. Go say hi to Ted. You got Gilbert Gottfried, Lisa Lampanelli, Penn Jillette, Jim Norton, Adam Carolla. Did I miss anybody?
Kara Foster, Heather McDonald. You mentioned Jim Norton, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch of other non-comedians who are very interesting, and some student comedians as well who are great.
Do you have opposing points of view in this movie? Do you have the other side?
Yes, we have some opposing points of view and some quite loud.
Do you pause and do the Penn and Teller bullshit thing where you say, look at this asshole? Nothing like that.
No, I think that's trademark. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, Ted. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to seeing the movie.
Sure thing, guys. Thanks for taking the listen. Yeah. And for spreading the word. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Ted.
You too. Bye.
Napier. That's a topic that we can enjoy.
I think so.
Interested in.
Oh, I'm definitely watching it.